listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
This week, the main thing that I wanted to cover is a thing called affirmations. Now, what are affirmations? Where do they come from? Do they work? What can we do to make them effective or make them more effective? Or are they a complete waste of time? I'd love to know what you think. Pop your comments in as we go along as well. Share your experiences of them. Excuse me. But affirmations. So let's take a look. What are affirmations? You know, it's those things where you tell yourself positive things in order to boost yourself, in order to help you achieve greater things. Sometimes it's called positive mental attitude, affirmations, all of these sorts of things. And interestingly, it comes from a gentleman of a good few years ago, back in the 1920s. There was a gentleman who published a book called Self-Mastery Through Conscious Autosuggestion. Self-Mastery Through Conscious Autosuggestion. That was the book that he published. His name was Emil Cui. And he discovered, he was a doctor, he discovered when he was working with his patients, he gave them positive talk throughout the process. He found they tended to have a higher rate of recovery. Excuse me. He did a lot more tests and experiments in this, and he came up with a very famous phrase, which you've probably heard. Every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. Every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. You may well have heard that one. That was Emil Cui, which he came up with and published in his book Self-Mastery through Conscious Autosuggestion, published that back in the 1920s. And his recommendation was that he had his patients repeat that phrase to themselves 20 times every morning just as they woke up, 20 times every evening just as they were drifting off to sleep. He would have them repeat that phrase to themselves every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. Have them repeat it to themselves 20 times each morning, each night. And he tended to find they used to get better results than those who didn't say it. Excuse me, golly. So that was the basis of what we call affirmations. Affirmations have been built upon that concept, and nowadays we have people they will say all sorts of things to themselves in order to bolster their mindset, to change their mindset. I am greatness. I am destined for success. I find making wealth easy. All of these sorts of things. Do they work? Because people say, hey, this all works. It's got to work because it worked for that bloke with his everyday stuff. Now, here's the thing. For some people, yes, affirmations do seem to have a positive effect, sometimes a very powerful positive effect. And yet, for many people, they seem to have no effect whatsoever. Seems to have no effect at all. Doesn't make one iota of difference. And for some people, it actually seems to make things even a little worse. So what's going on? How come Emil Cui's patients, some of them got better, and yet for others of us, using these affirmations just doesn't seem to work at all? What is going on? There's a couple of clues in what Emil said, in the way he said you had to work it. And those very important aspects seem to have got lost as the whole mythos and mythology around affirmations has taken a life of its own. Yet they're missing those core parts. We'll come to them in a moment, but let's take a look at what is going on. Why could affirmations even have any effect at all? How could they possibly work? Our mind has got kind of two main components. You can broadly think of it as having two components. You've got the conscious. That's the bit, that's your awareness, the bit we think of. When you're thinking, you're aware that you're thinking, that's your conscious. And then we've got our unconscious, which is kind of like under the hood. And that's the bit that does everything. That's the bit that runs our body, runs our lives. And it controls everything. Our conscious is a bit where we think great thoughts and we imagine stuff. But our unconscious is the core part, which controls everything. And our unconscious has effectively a huge series of rule books, which it creates as we learn, as we go through life and we learn. Our unconscious creates these rule books. Now, our unconscious will accept things pretty much unquestioningly. You can think of your unconscious as like a seven-year-old sibling. They love you dearly. They will do anything and everything for you. But they're 7 years old. They will believe anything that you tell them. This is not a helpful thing for us to have in life, to accept everything we're told unquestioningly. That can lead to all manner of problems. And that was always true even throughout the whole of the history of the human race. And over time, as we evolved, we developed this thing called sometimes it's called the critical factor. It's whatever you want to call it. It's kind of a thing which sits between the conscious and unconscious. So it sits between what's coming in and what our unconscious processes. And this critical factor, whatever you want to get, different people call it different things, it filters everything that's coming in through our five senses, through our touch, taste, sight, hearing, and smells. In fact, here's the thing for you. Do you know we've got way more than five senses? Way more than five senses. Maybe that's something we'll look at another time. But anyway, all of this stuff is filtered through this critical factor, whatever you want to call it. It's kind of like a firewall or a gatekeeper, because it makes sure that the stuff that goes through is stuff that's relevant, stuff that's relevant, because we are bombarded with 2 million bits of information. Every second is bombarding us and coming in. You're going to filter all that and make sense of it. And it's going to make sure that the stuff is of use to us. So it gets filtered through, which means some stuff doesn't make it into the unconscious because it gets rejected by the filter. Now, what are these filters? Excuse me. There's a whole set of different filters. We've got things like our beliefs, things that we believe to be true. We've got our values, things that are important to us. Language itself is a filter. If we don't have the language to understand what we're experiencing, it's not going to go through. We've also got time and space, or temporal and spatial components to these filters. How close we are to the event, physically or in time, which is why things that happen right in front of us, trivial things that happen right in front of us, we have great awareness of. Massively important things that happened a long way away or happened a long time ago or may happen a long time, long way off in the future, less importance and less relevance to us, less information about that comes in. We've got all of these different filters, loads and loads of different filters, beliefs, attitudes, values, all sorts. So we've got this information coming in and this thing filters it. Excuse me. Which is the first stumbling block for affirmations. Because if you're telling yourself through affirmations, if you're telling yourself something that you don't actually believe, it's not going to go in. How does this not believe thing stop going in? Well, if you tell a three-year-old all about this big jolly gentleman in a red outfit, a big white beard who comes down the chimney every Christmas Eve and leaves presents for all the good little boys and girls, they're going to believe it with wide-eyed wonderment. Wow. Oh, I hope I'm good. I hope Santa comes to visit me. Oh, they're going to believe it and accept it unquestioningly. If you were to tell the same thing to a 30-year-old who had never heard the concept of Santa, they're going to look at you like, really? What are you on? because it doesn't fit with their beliefs, their experience of their world, how they know things work. It just doesn't fit. So they're not going to believe it. It's a bit of a crude example, but it does demonstrate how this stuff doesn't go in if we don't believe it. So, excuse me, suppose you have grown up with this belief, with this mindset, this belief that I'm not good enough. I can't succeed. People like me never succeed. People like me never make money. Money, it's for other people. If you grow up with those sorts of beliefs, and many, many people do, then it doesn't matter how much you tell yourself, I am success. I make money easily. I deserve money. It doesn't matter how much you say these things to yourself. It's not going to sink into the unconscious because that filter gets in the way. I deserve success. No, we don't. Boom, bounces off. I make money easily and effortlessly. No, we don't. Boom, it bounces off. It never goes in. So it doesn't matter how often you say these things to yourself. It doesn't matter how beautiful the image that you put on the wall or on your desktop is. It's not going to go in. And that's why for so many people affirmations do not work. If you're trying to beat yourself over the head with this affirmation about something that deep down fundamentally you don't believe, it is not going to go in. You might as well try and convince yourself that Santa Claus exists for all the effect it will have, these affirmations. That's why they don't work for many people. And in fact, for some people, it makes things even worse. How can it make it worse? See, here's what goes on. Excuse me. When we say, when we experience something, we kind of look for information to prove it or to disprove it. Because we're always looking for, our unconscious is always looking to see, is this true? Is this not true? If you look for information to prove something, you'll find it. If you look for information to disprove it, you'll find it. So if you believe that you're a successful person and you say to yourself, hey, I'm successful, your unconscious is going to be looking for information to go, yeah, well, we believe we're successful, are we? Oh, yeah, there was a time we succeeded. There was a time we succeeded. There was a time we succeeded. Yay, I'm a successful person. We're going to find that information. Brilliant. However, if your unconscious were to look for information to show that you fail, well, of course it's going to find times because lots of times you succeed, lots of times you fail. Whichever you look for, it's going to find. So if you don't believe you're a successful person, you keep saying, I am successful. Success comes easily to me. Your unconscious, not only does it go, nah, we don't believe that. Your unconscious, in order to back up that the belief that you don't believe you're successful, is going to have a look through and go, oh, look, there's a time we failed. There was a time we failed. See, I knew we're not successful, and this is proof we're not successful. So in fact, what happens, you actually end up, instead of believing you're successful by saying, I am successful, I deserve success, success comes easily to me, your unconscious keeps popping up all this proof that you fail. So that affirmation becomes counter-effective, counterproductive, and you end up being even less successful. Oh, man, that sucks. This thing that's supposed to help me is actually working against me. What can you do? Should you just give up with affirmations? Well, no. If you want to go down the path of affirmations, there are several things you can do which will help. Now, I mentioned Emil Coué. When he published his self-mastery through conscious auto-suggestion back in the 1920s with that famous phrase, every day and every day, I'm getting better and better. There are a few things he said that you had to do to make this work. One of them was repeat it to yourself 20 times just before going to sleep and repeat it to yourself 20 times just as you wake up every day for as long as it takes. That is a very key part we'll come to in a moment. But he also said a couple of other things. He said that he works in the realm of reality and that all of this stuff has to be things which are real, things which could actually work. He said that you can't use this to help a blind person gain sight. It's just not going to work. So it has to be realistic. So yeah, it has to be realistic. The other thing, key thing he said was, you have to be open to the idea of change. If you believe this isn't going to work, it won't work. If you believe it could work, it could work. There's a lot of mindset stuff going on in there. And that's a couple of really important things which often get forgotten about in the rush to promote the idea of affirmations. You've got to believe that this could actually work, and it's going to be something that's real, that's realistic, which means you've got to be able to believe that it could be true, that it could happen for you. Huh. So if you genuinely don't believe that you're a successful person, if you genuinely don't believe that you deserve success, you've got to express this affirmation in such a way that fits with what you believe is possible. How can you do that? Well, I've got some suggestions for that in a moment. But just before we go on to that, the other thing I wanted to mention was, or the other thing I wanted to cover was, remember I said that Emil said you've got to do this 20 times, first thing in the morning, just as you're waking up, and 20 times last thing in the evening, just before you go to sleep. That is a massively important part of it. Excuse me, because in effect, what he's suggesting there is a form of self-hypnosis. Oh, yes, hypnosis. Here we go. You see, with hypnosis, we bypass that critical faculty, or we bypass a lot of it. Not all of it. There's still parts in there. There's still the whole self-protection, safety stuff. The mind will still kick in. So even with hypnosis, you couldn't make somebody do something to endanger themselves. You couldn't make somebody do something against their will, against their morals, against their will. But with hypnosis, you can offer suggestions which get accepted by the unconscious mind a lot more easily, a lot more readily. Hypnosis works by getting someone into a state of trance. And we'll explore that in more detail in another one of these. If that would be of interest, pop a comment, let me know, and we'll make that happen. Now, state of trance just happens to be a natural state that we pass through just as we're drifting off to sleep and just as we're waking up. As you cross the boundary between being asleep and being awake, you actually pass through this trance state. Well, you're conscious, you have awareness, but you don't have all of that judgment going on. You don't have all those filters in place yet. It's kind of like the filters haven't woken up yet. The filters are like, go to sleep before you do, and they wake up after you wake up. So you've got that point where you're more open to suggestion, which is why a key part of what he said was that you do this just as you go to sleep, and you do this just as you wake up. He was, in effect, promoting what is now known as self-hypnosis. And I mentioned that we would explore hypnosis in a bit more detail. Dylan says, yes, please. Oh, man, Dylan, you probably know about as much about hypnosis as I do, but yep, there's certainly more stuff we can explore, and we will absolutely explore that in a future episode for sure. Make a note of that. We'll have a future episode all about hypnosis. It's a fascinating topic. But anyway, getting back to what we're talking about. So with these affirmations, these things that he was getting us to say, he was effectively using self-hypnosis, which can be a really powerful way to use affirmations. So not just bashing yourself over the head of it while you're fully wide awake, but using it, telling yourself these things just as you go to sleep and just as you wake up, can be really powerful. A key thing which many, many people promoting affirmations completely ignore. See, this is why whenever you're adopting an idea, it's always good to go back to the source material, back to the original, and find out all the information that's being promoted, all the information that's being suggested by the person, because there's usually a lot more than has filtered down through the intervening century. So yeah, you have to be open to the idea of change. It has to be something that's realistic. And he was using it as a form of self-hypnosis, using it just as you're going to sleep and just as you're waking up. So I said there are things that we can do to make affirmations more effective for us. It's all about that being realistic and being open to change. And that's what we're going to look at just this final few moments. How do you make these realistic? And how do you express them in such a way that you're unconscious mind can be open to accepting these. Basically, affirmations need to be something which at some level you believe either is true or could be true. It's possible. Because the more you express them, the more your unconscious is starting to sift through and look through for evidence to support them. If it's able to accept that it's a possibility, it will then start looking for information to support that evidence. That's how we work with everything that we do. Our mind is always looking for stuff to prove the position that we have. So how can you express an affirmation in a more positive way? Well, here is a technique which I found has worked really well for a lot of people. Now, remember, there's no one size fits all. One thing doesn't necessarily work for everyone. However, if you like the idea of affirmations, but you found they haven't really worked for you, here's something that you could do, which may well have very positive effects for you. Change the way that you're expressing it into a way which is positive and which is believable for you. So, for example, somebody wants to become wealthier. They want to earn more money. But they've got a lot of beliefs about money. People like me don't know. I can never earn money. I've never been able to make money. Well, money, it comes and it just goes straight away. You've got all those beliefs. Just telling yourself, money comes to me effortlessly. I am wealthy. Your unconscious is just going to go, seen our bank balance? Of course we're not wealthy. And it's rejected. However, a way you could rephrase it, maybe you're not wealthy, but maybe you would enjoy being wealthy. Maybe you enjoy it when money comes to you. It's a fairly safe bet. You probably do enjoy bringing money to you. So you phrase it slightly differently. Instead of money comes to me effortlessly, your affirmation could become, I enjoy attracting money effortlessly. Now, there's a lot going on in that one. There's a lot of presupposition in there. Again, that's a topic we can explore. We'll explore it another time if you want. If you want us to look at presuppositions another time, just say, yes, presuppositions, and we'll make it happen. But in essence, a presupposition is, in order to process a sentence, you have to suppose parts of it are true. There's all manner of presuppositions. We don't have time to explore them at this point. But what's going on here is if you say, I enjoy attracting money, for your unconscious to process this and decide, is this true, is this false? Do I enjoy attracting money? Don't I enjoy attracting money? Your unconscious has first of all got to explore the times you attracted money and see whether you enjoyed it or not. And if you've been paying attention, you can see immediately what's going on here. Previously, if we'd said, I attract money effortlessly, your unconscious would be looking, do I attract money? Don't I? Other times, no, look, see, I don't attract money. Look, here's proof I don't attract money because I haven't got any. So it's been looking for proof that you don't attract money and it rejects the suggestion. But if you say, I enjoy attracting money, your unconscious is now looking for all the times you attracted money and it's looking to see whether you enjoyed it or not. And it's probably a fairly safe bet that you did enjoy it. So it goes, oh yeah, I do enjoy attracting money. And what you've done is you've actually got your unconscious looking for all the times you attract money. So your unconscious now going, yes, I do enjoy attracting money. And in order to enjoy it, in order to be able to enjoy attracting money, that must mean I attract money. Therefore, I attract money. So your unconscious is now unconsciously thinking, I attract money. And it's looking for ways in which you attract money. It knows you attract it. It knows it's something you enjoy. So it's going to do more of that. It's a very subtle thing that's going on there, very subtle, but it has a very deep and profound impact. Change the way in which you express your affirmations. Make it something realistic and make it something which your mind could believe. So that's what I want to leave you on with the thoughts and affirmations today. So affirmations, they absolutely can work, provided, as Mukwe said, provided it's realistic and provided it's something that you believe could happen. You're open to that possibility. And by using careful and clever with the way in which we express it, turn it into something which is, we do believe is true. I enjoy creating success. Most people would find that is true. And the more you say it to yourself, I enjoy creating success. Your mind is focusing on the enjoyment part. So it looks for all the times you created success to go, actually, yes, I did enjoy all those. Oh, I do enjoy creating success. Let's create some more success because we enjoy this. Because it's focusing on the enjoyment. It's not focusing on the, do I create success or not? I give it a very powerful way of getting these affirmations to work for you. Now, of course, affirmations aren't the only thing, but they can be a very helpful part of our toolbox. In the meanwhile, check out the podcast, 5-Minute Meditation, and the Keith Fagan Noble Radio Show on Mondays and Fridays, respectively. Check out Patreon, where you get bonus content for all of those podcasts. And check out my website, keithlakemanuel.com, where you'll find lots more information and some freebies, and you can get in touch as well. That's it. That's what I wanted to cover today. I hope you found this interesting and useful. Let me know. What do you think of it? Which bits of this really ring true for you? How are you going to use it? And what do you want more of for future episodes? So until next week, take care, look after yourself, and remember, change is always possible. And when you change your mind, you change your life.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.